You're listening to The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. Now let's turn to the task of choosing a police chief, one of the most important decisions a mayor can make. Those are the words of Seattle's mayor, Jenny Durkin, and she's going to have to make that choice in the next few months. This week, Seattle's police chief, Kathleen O'Toole, announced she's stepping down in 2018. She spent 3 years helping the Seattle Police Department change the way it uses force out in the field. Now a new chief is going to be tasked with seeing Seattle through the end of these federally mandated reforms. With us to talk about this now, we have the deputy director of the ACLU of Washington, Michelle Storms. Michelle Storms has been thinking about what Seattle needs from a new police chief. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Also with us, state representative and Seattle police officer Morgan Irwin. Welcome to you, representative.
Thank you, Bill, and just because I always have to say this, the views I'm about to express are my own and in no way represent the City of Seattle or the Seattle Police Department.
Okay, we're glad to have your views. Representative Irwin, this new police chief's also going to be your new boss in the police department. What do you want from your new boss?
I'm really excited that Chief Best, Deputy Chief Best, Carmen Best, is going to be our interim. I think she's an incredibly strong leader. I think she speaks with a clarity and a voice that can be heard by the community. And I'm actually kind of excited to be under her leadership. I think she's going to do really well by us.
What do you think the city most needs from your new boss?
You know, and that's hard. I think the biggest thing that we need to do in Seattle, you know, with my perspective, is we've got to do a better job of communicating as a police department. We've gone to some social media stuff, and I think that's mostly positive. There's been kind of some faux pas there, but I think for the most part, people need to hear the story of what it is that we're doing. You know, good, bad, indifferent. When we have something bad that happens, people need to know about it right away. When we have something good that happens, we need to know about it right away. We need to be able to tell the story, and not in a way that we're, you know, marketing ourselves, but just tell the story so people understand exactly what's happening, and take away, you know, kind of that, well, you know, I wonder what's happening or what could be happening. Because when people start to tell their own narrative in absence of facts, that's when we end up in kind of irrational situations.
Okay, someone who can tell the story of what the Seattle Police Department is doing. Michelle Storms with the ACLU of Washington, what do you think Seattle's top priority is from a new police chief?
So, you know, at the ACLU, the things that we think about a lot relate to excessive use of force in policing, racial bias in policing, dealing with crisis intervention and mental health. These are some of the key issues that we pay attention to, because frankly, where the biggest problems have happened have typically been in the intersection of those issues. So we look forward to someone who will pay close attention to those and continue to work, as Chief O'Toole has done, on increasing the training, improving the training, holding officers accountable, working very closely with community to address community concerns regarding policing. These are some of the key things that we hope to see.
Well, Michelle, you bring up training, which is something that was brought up earlier this week. I talked to former Seattle City Council member Kirsten Harris-Talley, mm-hmm. And here's what she said about training.
Putting a lot of time and effort into non-lethal policing models and training is a game changer. Right now, the models are upside down, which is why De-escalate Washington is such an important campaign. We have far too much training that's on shooting range and other lethal interaction training, and not on anti-bias training, de-escalation training. How do you work with mental health issues? How do you work with other issues that can accelerate in the field if you don't have the training to actually de-escalate those situations?
Officer Irwin, would you agree the training models for Seattle police are upside down?
That's a perfect clip to play. When I'm talking about the ability to communicate with the community and say what it is that we're doing, this is a perfect example, because, you know, this year I think I had 48 hours of training, and four of it was on firearms and in the range. Everything else was de-escalation or anti-bias training. We went to the Jewish Heritage Center here in Seattle, and we had a training on, you know, kind of the rise of Nazism, and we're police, you know, the police part in that in, you know, in Germany and the Brown Code. That's what we're doing in Seattle. But I know that's not kind of the perception. But if you look at the training that we are doing in this city, And I understand completely.
Does that seem like the right mix?
Well, I think I'd spent 4 hours this year doing defensive tactics. So that's kind of your hands-on skills, kind of those mid-step skills between verbal skills and using greater amounts of force. If anything, I think we need maybe more of that, because if those skills aren't on point, that's when officers can lose control of a situation and things escalate even further. But I guess I would say that there is a perception, absolutely, that Seattle police officers, all we do is we train to, you know, use force or whatever. But right now, I mean, that's maybe 8 or 16 hours out of a 48-hour training year. The rest is all focused on de-escalation, case law, dealing with people from various cultural backgrounds. I mean, that is the vast majority of our training right now. And I mean, that just is what it is. That's not an opinion. I mean, that is what we're doing.
Okay. ACLU's Michelle Storms, any reaction to that mix of training?
That sounds good. That sounds like fabulous training. And so two things about it, one related to the training and one related to the communicating it out. The training is a piece of it, right? A question that I have is, how is the culture changing in the force around these issues of de-escalation, anti-bias, and so forth? I'm just asking that as a question. It's not an opinion, because I think that where we have to get is a real change of mindset around sanctity of life and about community safety. So I would throw that out. And then I have a thought about the communication, too, if I may.
Well, can I get a good answer to your good question first?
Sure.
You're speaking for yourself, but the ACLU would like to know, how is the culture actually changing based on this training? What have you seen?
Yeah, and so one of the things that you can kind of run into with some of these trainings is that, and I don't know if it's just a function of the training or how they're presented, but whether it's an outside force, that's kind of coming in and saying, hey, this is what we think you should do, or it's written internally. When we talk about things like implicit bias, where it kind of this predetermined, like everybody has internal biases, and it's our job every day to combat those and make sure they don't become explicit bias. Those are the sorts of trainings that we focus on a lot, and I think culturally we do care about that. I remember going through a training. I think it was last year, and it was kind of LGBT focused. And I was on a call, a week later, and someone who was probably not on the binary scale in terms of sexuality, and I asked that person, what's your preferred pronoun? And they went from saying, I'm not going to give you any kind of a statement. This was at a shooting in the Rainier Valley. I'm not going to give you any kind of statement. And then I asked that, and you could just see him relax and say, oh, well, this person gets it. And that person ended up giving me, a full statement. And I was able to get, a lot of information for our detectives because of it. So I think the trainings are making a difference, from my perspective as a patrol officer. And I work in a pretty rough part of the city, comparatively. And, the folks that I work with, we take it to heart, and we try and use those sorts of tools to go out and do the job better. Because ultimately, it makes it easier to do good police work when you're doing it in a way that people appreciate.
That's really helpful. It actually gives me a segue into my other comment about communicating out to community, because, I think you mentioned earlier using social media and using certain other venues to share the story of what the police force is doing. And I wonder if that really gets to everybody. And I guess it gets back to the community policing model, which I know was something that was a focus of Chief O'Toole's attention. That when you're in the community and you're sharing stories with the community, or you're having the opportunity, as you had, Representative Irwin, to ask this person about their pronouns, that's when the community really hears the message, when they see the change. And I think part of the disconnect a lot of times is that we know that training has changed, but then, we still have shootings and we still have situations that, from the community perspective, don't appear to be acceptable or justified, that appear to be still excessive use of force.
And those are, I think that's when communication's most important. We had, kind of a couple of higher profile shootings, but instead of picking one that was really controversial, which can probably be a segment all on its own, and even has been a segment all on its own, we had a shooting just off of Dearborn, a man charged a female officer with a knife. And the shooting was ruled completely justified. And most folks who saw the video, you know, looked at it and were like, oh, yeah, that's a guy with a great big knife running at an officer. Those are the sorts of things that people were able to make that call for themselves because the video was released within, I think, 24 or 48 hours. You know, detailed statements were given within 72 hours. That model of communication where people are given facts when they're generating their own narrative, that's what we need to do, in my opinion, and that's the way that we stop things from becoming something they're not. Because nobody wants a bad shooting, but also nobody wants a good shooting that's made to look bad because the narrative is it's people lose control of it.
We're talking with State Representative and Seattle Police Officer, both Morgan Irwin and Michelle Storms, Deputy Director of the ACLU of Washington. We're talking about the search for the new Seattle Police Chief. Michelle, you were on the hiring committee for Kathleen O'Toole. How involved was the community in that hiring process? Was that because earlier this week, that former Seattle City Council member said, we need much more involvement than what the Mayor Durkan is envisioning right now.
So, and I haven't seen what the plan is for Mayor Durkan currently, but when we did this some years ago, we did have a search committee, and then we also had a community advisory committee. We had a number early on, I think even before drafting the actual position description, we had a number of sessions in a variety of communities all around Seattle. I went to a couple of them myself on the South End, and they were asking the community, what are you looking for? So that's definitely something that I'd love to see happen again. Beyond that, though, I don't recall there being additional outreach into the community. I think that would be a good thing to look at, especially in this time where we're really trying to build up the strength of the Community Police Commission and really help the community understand that they have a voice and a role to play with the law enforcement agency.
Representative Irwin, we are coming out of this federally mandated reform, this consent decree from the U.S. Justice Department. So it's about to be a new time in the Seattle Police Department. You said communication is important. That's a given for a lot of organizations and municipalities and businesses. What is the number one change, if any, or is it just stay the course, that you would like Seattleites to come out of this next police chief's term and saying, wow, this is what was accomplished under this police chief?
Well, not to be too reliant on the words of others, but I think it was Merrick Bob actually that said, until the cake is baked, you can still pull the ingredients out. And we still don't have a contract. We're close to 1,200 days without a contract. You know, no member of my union's gone on strike. Everybody shows up to work. We continue to do the job that we're paid to do. But increasingly, we're looking around and saying, are we doing this in good faith? You know, is the city negotiating with us in good faith? I mean, they've already pretty blatantly broken some labor practice laws mandating body of work issues, you know, during this time. And hopefully what we can do over the next, I guess, generation of police work is show that the police department is of the people and that the government is of the people and that we're working together. I think oftentimes in government, we tend to circle the wagons, you know, between, you know, police and fire and you kind of your executive branch and your, and you circle the wagons and then we shoot in instead of out. And it's so destructive. And so hopefully we can, under this next regime, find people who can work together and say, hey, we all need each other. Let's work together. Let's do it in good faith, and let's do the best we can for our community, and let's let them know what we're doing as often as possible.
And Michelle Storms with the ACLU of Washington, when we're talking later about how the new Seattle's new police chief has done, how would you evaluate that new chief's success?
You know, I think that there's something that Representative Irwin said that I think I really agree with, a sort of a coming together. It would be a real indication of success if there was trust in both directions, if the community felt a sense of trust that the police department was there to be in the guardian spirit, in the community-minded spirit, and if the law enforcement was going into communities where they had relationships with people and knew that these are good folks and we can work together. So someone who could create that space where there is that trust and strength of relationship, that would be a real triumph.
Seattle Police Department at a crossroads with Chief Kathleen O'Toole on the way out soon and a search underway. And the Deputy Chief Carmen Best in that role for now, an internal candidate. We've been talking with Michelle Storms with the ACLU of Washington, and Morgan Irwin is a Washington State representative and a Seattle police officer. He speaks for himself. Thanks to both of you for this.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the conversation.
Thanks, Bill.